Welcome to Beware Spoilers. I am Adam. It is Monday morning, which means we are here to talk about The Time Traveler's Wife, which airs every evening, every Sunday evening on, what's that show? On HBO. And then immediately after it airs, it goes to HBO Max, which means that I can watch it the night it airs. Which is awesome. Because unlike The Flash, which I'm falling behind in because I keep forgetting it exists, because I have to wait until the day after. See, I think that's the fundamental problem with the CW app, is that because it's the day after, not the day of, I end up forgetting it exists. Because the day of, when it airs, I'm on news sites and I see this happened on The Flash, this happened on The Flash, and then I'm like, oh, okay, so I have to watch, there's a new episode of The Flash to watch, and then because it doesn't go up till the next day on the app, I forget about it by the next morning after I sleep and then wake up. The Time Traveler's Wife, however, they sent me a push notification on HBO Max to be like, hey, there's a new episode up you can watch. And that's pretty cool. I'm all for that. So, I think last week when we discussed episode one, I talked about the issue with Stephen Moffat's writing style, and how Stephen Moffat's writing style, I think, is not the best thing for a show like this. And then the more I thought about it, I'm like, no, this is perfect for him, because he doesn't write women well. Everyone sounds the same when they talk, and he does, like, he writes moments. I think I said that last week, that Tumblr post that I saw, that I think very astutely described his style, was he writes moments, not, what's it called, not full-on, like, stories. And the moments, when the moments hit, the moments can be great, but the connective tissue around the moments is not always the best. And I think we get to see all three of these issues come to light in this most recent episode, where we find out the secret origin of Henry's mother, but I don't think we necessarily needed the secret origin of Henry's mother. I don't think it's a show that necessarily needs an explanation of what happens to her. We certainly don't need to see her get decapitated as often as we do. Just like we don't need to see Theo Rossi's ass as much as we do. But here we are. But, like, the amount of times we see this woman get decapitated in this episode is obscene. I don't know if that was production's decision or editing's decision, or if it's in the script to do that, but whoever's decision that was, that's fucking ridiculous, because it doesn't help, it doesn't help anyone to show it that many times, and him time traveling to, you know, like, I understand the subtext of the episode, which is like, you know, it is, whenever he gets, you know, depressed about his mom, he ends up going back in time to the moment his mom dies, and he's there watching, and it's like, in the opening sequence, we see him there, like, 20 times, there are like 20 iterations of him in that sequence, watching his mother get killed, because he just, you know, when he thinks about it too much, he thinks he goes right to it, and it's one of those things where it's like, it's designed to be like, you know, because he's talking to Claire about it, it's okay, and he's not, you know, depressed about it. It doesn't impact him in the same way, it doesn't force him, you know, it's kind of therapeutic and cathartic to be able to, I completely understand that's what they're going for. I feel like the execution of that could have been a lot better, and I feel like the idea of introducing the mom, who we have never spoken of before at this point, granted, there's only one episode before it, I'll give them that, but the introduction of the mom, and making the mom this, you know, like, point around which his universe turns, and for her to be dead, feels kind of silly. And the entire show comes down to, you know, the women are all defined by their relationship to Henry, and I feel like that's also kind of, you know, a problem in general. I also, you know, I think last time I said the relationship between him and Claire, like 6-year-old Claire, is not bad. I'm going to take that back. Because in the first episode, it kind of plays it where, what's it called? Where she is looking at him and she is, you know, like, there's a confusion to her, and he's not really telling her anything or anything like that. And now, by this episode, like, we still have the 6-year-old version and all of that. And he goes, what's it called? He goes, like, you know, there's a little bit more, not flirtiness, but, like, playing coy with details, in an effort to, like, what's the word I'm looking for here? To like, you know, build that mystique to him, to this 6-year-old girl. And then on top of, couple that with the fact that he, what's it called? If we take that and then couple it with the fact that, like, you know, her explanation of why she has a problem with him when she's talking to current him is, you know, it does just scream of grooming. Where it's like, she even says, like, you know, to him, like, you know, my sexuality was formed around you, like, you know, because of, you know, how he grew up, and then now you're here and you're just a younger, hotter version of the guy I fell in love with, and it's like, well, that's, you know, that's disturbing on a few levels. Like, the idea that that's where we're going with this show is kind of insane to an extent. And I feel like that's kind of a problem that happens with the show, like, with a show like this, where it's like, if you think about it too hard, it starts to, if you pull up the strings too much, it starts to fall apart, and it's like, well, that's a pretty big one right there, like, this idea of that, and there is a way to do that, where it's like, you know, I don't even know how you would do it and have it not be creepy. There is no creepy way to handle that part of it, just besides just omitting it. And then what else was there with this episode that was, you know, weird? Him with his younger self was kind of, you know, it was probably the most interesting thing in the episode. And then, like, you know, one of the things I'm tired of whenever Moffat writes, you know, time travel bullshit, is there's always this hand wave, oh, it's too complex to understand. It's really not, though. Nothing he does is too complex to understand. It's kind of like, it reminds me of, like, when Amy and Rory got written off the show, and it's the dumbest bullshit on the planet how they get killed off, where it's like, the way they die is, for those of you who don't remember, is the angels transport them back in time. And because of that, for whatever reason, it creates a fixed point in time that they cannot undo. But all that happens is the angels get sent back in time to, what's it called, get sent back in time to Manhattan in the 1920s. Like, and then it's like, when I look at the gravestone for the two of them, it's like, oh, they lived another, like, 60 years. So, like, they, like, why couldn't you just go back, like, a year later? Or 2 years later? Or, like, I don't know, go to, like, Manhattan? Or like, go to, like, Long Island and just, like, walk? Or go to, like, you know, what's the other, like, go to Jersey and take the ferry across? Like, there are options here. There are plenty of options for how they could have brought them back with that, and it's just so poorly handled the entire way through that it's kind of just silly. And I think that here we have a similar thing, where it's like, you know, you can't do whatever because you can't change things, and something will happen that will stop you from changing it. And it's like, well, the only thing we've seen that, you know, is the example of people, you know, following in the timeline is, like, first off, the idea that, you know, in the beginning where it's like, oh, we're going to eat here, and then she's like, oh, well, we're going to eat here instead. It's like, well, okay, whatever, that's something. But then, like, you know, the idea of, what's it called? The idea of, when he's talking to his younger self and he's like, we can't change anything. Everything we do is set in stone. We can't mess the timeline. It is described as like a thing that can't be done. And it's like, you know, the example he gives is like, in 1 minute you're going to get up and run out of this chair in that direction. And the kid's like, and the kid version is like, no, I'm not going to do it. And then it's like, it builds, it builds, it builds. And then it's his mom, and so the kid gets up and runs out of the chair. And then they're sitting on the porch, and he goes, the kid goes, well, okay, so my mom's on the phone, and they're saying I'm in class. I'll be able to prove I'm a time traveler to her. I'll just go over and, what's it called? I'll just go over and talk to her and be like, look, I'm in class, I'm also right here, that's proof I'm a time traveler. And then the future version's like, well, no, that won't work because something will stop you. And it's like, yeah, in this case, the something that stops him is you saying it won't work. So, like, if you just let him do it, or if he just didn't listen, like, the whole idea of free will versus anything like that, it's like, I think that it's kind of, you know, it's kind of silly the way it's handling it, where it's like, really, there's no way that you could have done it, like, even, like, a passive thing would have kept it from happening, I think. Like if something passive happened that was not, like, direct interference, would that also not work? Like, because there are ways to stop a car accident from happening if you know a car accident's going to happen. Like, a spike strip or, you know, like, if he let the air out of the tires at the house before she left, like, the car accident wouldn't happen then. Like, is there a reason that future him can't do that? Like, that's the problem, is that it's like, we're not seeing him actually try to change the past. We're seeing him say the past can't be changed. What we need to see is, we need to see the moment where he tries to change the past, and it doesn't work because something overrides it and something else happens to make it so things happen the way they're supposed to happen anyway. That's the moment we need to see before we just take his word at, no, you can't do it. Because then that moment will have gravitas and him looking at it and being like, no, that doesn't work. Like, the idea of it is, like, you know, and I want to say that, like, you know, David Nutter's other, you know, another thing David Nutter directed, The Flash, did something similar in the finale. And, like, I feel like I was less, you know, annoyed with that, in the finale of season one, where he goes back in time to save his mother's life. Very similar, actually. He goes back in time to save his mother's life, and then he ends up he sees future him, fighting the Reverse Flash, and he's in the kitchen, and as he's going out to try and interfere, his future self, just puts his hand out and waves him off, like, no, don't do it. And it's a great moment, and it works, and it's like, I feel like the thing is, that moment works because he knows it's him, and the moment here doesn't quite work, because at the moment he's being told all of this, I think he has just learned that that's him. And the thing is, too, it's like, there's also this understanding, like, of it, and he's not an 8-year-old with poor impulse control. Like, there's a lot of things here that kind of would work better, but the show just doesn't handle it. And it just kind of makes the whole thing feel kind of silly in a lot of places, and I feel like that could be better handled. What else was there to address with this? I think that that's really the only thing, is that, like, you know, this idea, like, the idea of him telling his younger self to not do things, it feels kind of like a vicious circle. Like, where it's like, you know, well, why? Why do I have to tell myself not to do things? If he just doesn't tell his younger self not to do, like, that's the problem here, is that the only thing that's keeping the timeline from being fucked with is himself. Like, it's not so much that he can't do it, it's that he's unwilling to, and then passes that on to his younger self in an endless loop, so that way it never happens. It's just kind of odd, to say the least. So what else was there? I think that's really all I wanted to address with this episode. I got to work in, like, record time today. What else was there? I don't know, it's like, you know, and, you know, the titular time traveler's wife doesn't actually have much to do in this episode. Like, which I feel like is another problem. Like, if she's the character in the title, you should probably give her something to do through the entire episode, instead of just be the vehicle of exposition, where things need to be explained to her, and therefore the audience. Yeah, I think that that's the last complaint I have, where it's like the show right there is missing out. So we'll wrap up there for today, and we will be back. Tonight we have, what's that thing called? Love, Death, and Robots is the name of it, or Life, Death, and Robots? Love, Death, and Robots? Death, Love, and Robots? The Tim Miller Show on Netflix, the animated anthology with robots in it. I watched that last night. We'll talk about that tonight, this evening on my way home from work. And then tomorrow at some point we're going to talk about Men, because I did see that yesterday and I didn't record a review because I was doing stuff after going to the movies and I didn't have time to actually do a review of it. And then also tonight, maybe into tomorrow morning, depending on how the trailer is, during tonight's NBA final game on ESPN, because Synergy, they are going to be debuting the new trailer for Thor: Love and Thunder, which, you know, trailer 2, which will be coming, because the movie comes out in, like, 2 months, so it makes sense they're putting the trailer out now. So we'll see how that goes, and that'll be tonight at, I think it's gonna be around 9, 10 o'clock, depending. I don't know what the start time of the game is, but it'll be, you know, we'll see what the trailer is. Apparently, according to people involved with making the movie, the trailer will be good, which I would certainly hope they would say that. And then Friday, Kenobi starts. I think Friday the 27th, no, Wednesday the 27th? No, the 25th is Wednesday. Kenobi got pushed back to the 27th, because then Miss Marvel is staying on the Wednesday date. So Kenobi will be coming out on, what's it called? And it's coming Friday, so we'll have something to talk about on Saturday morning. Unless they send it to me early, which is entirely possible. I have not checked my email yet today, so it is very possible we just get that early, and then in which case there'll be a spoiler-free embargoed review going up before that happens. So we'll wrap up there for today, and we'll be back with more as it happens. So until then, have a great rest of your week.